the greatest story. We just heard one of my favorite children's books during the time with young disciples. I found this book during the rummage sale, Carol. Can you believe it? It was amongst all of the books and bric-brac and things that were being sold and given away. And I came across this gem and fell in love. I took it and said, one day I'm going to get to use this story. Well, past self, good job. The day has finally come and I was able to read this wonderful story. I love this story because though it is implausible, because dinosaurs are extinct, and if they were around, they certainly would not attend school with children, it still teaches us valuable lessons. Number one, treat people the way you would like to be treated. And number two, if you want to have friends, you can't eat the people you meet. We can all relate to the excitement of a good story, from chatting with our relatives to watching movies and television shows. Stories shape our perspectives and give us a sense of importance and belonging. Often, we may not notice the impact of how those stories are shaping our own perspectives as well as others, but they can and often do have a significant impact upon us. I don't know if your parents were like mine, but whenever they wanted to make a particular important point, my parents would share a story. If my sisters and I argued over whose turn it was to do the dishes, we would hear a story about how much work they had to do when they were our age. If we did not want to go to school because of snow or rain, we were told about how they had to walk a country mile to get to and from school every morning through rain, sleet, and snow, uphill coming both ways. And if, God forbid, we ever had the audacity to ask for money for a special treat like a trip to the movies or clothing, we had to sit through the story of how and when they got their first job at 8. And how they never asked their parents for anything extra. They worked for everything they had. Now, I never fully believed the stories that my parents told because the world that they described was so foreign compared to the one that I lived in. But in our text, we find Paul standing on Mars Hill in Athens, speaking in a similar setting to our own society today. Like in Athens 2,000 years ago, today, many people are generally religious or spiritual, but not necessarily in relationship with God. They may acknowledge a higher power, but not necessarily God's never-ending work of perfecting all that is imperfect in everyday people like me and you. They may believe in the God of all creation, but not the God who is still creating something out of nothing, bringing order in places of chaos and peace in a turbulent world. They may even believe in a God who gives up everything for his creation, but not the God who calls on us to give up everything for each other. Paul was speaking to a people who, just like us, struggle to believe that God sees us just as we are and loves us anyway. A God who calls us to live holy and reminds us that we cannot do it on our own. It is difficult for them and for us because many of us have been taught that we must be completely self-sufficient and that all that we have and all that we have accomplished, we have done on our own. But Paul reminds the people of Athens that it is in God that we live, move, and have our being, and that it is only through the grace of God that we are able to do all that we do. Paul takes the people of Athens on a journey that begins with creation, and he tells the story of how God, starting with Adam, created every human nation and placed in them the desire to seek him and perhaps even reach out and touch him. Paul told them and is telling us that not only did God create us to desire relationship between the human and the divine, but that we are a part of God's great story of creation and redemption. And as God's offspring, we are main characters in this epic story. The story of God and humanity is filled with exciting adventures, life-changing plot twists, and hopeful redemption. If you don't believe me, pick up the Bible, read it sometime. Read the stories of how people lived and how they were affected by the presence of God in their lives. God's story is filled with exciting adventures. But most importantly, this story invites us to be a part of something that is larger than us. We are a part of God's epic rescue mission. The good news for us is that God's story is our story. And no matter where we are or what our individual stories are, we are invited to participate in God's epic romance and rescue. Sometimes we are the ones being rescued from loneliness like Penelope, or fear like her classmates, or the injuries and pains of life that cannot be avoided. Sometimes we are the ones being saved. But what God is trying to tell us through the voice of Paul is that if we acknowledge who some believe is the unknown and unknowable God, if we commit ourselves to loving and following the one who made himself known in the person of Jesus, if we change our hearts and lives, we become both rescued and a part of the rescue team. One of Paul's greatest gifts was his ability to boldly share the story of God's redeeming love and to place himself right in the thick of the story, not as the hero, but as the villain who was on his way to persecute the church and its members. In his chapter of the greatest story, we are told that Paul was met on that Damascus road by a voice from heaven and a blinding light. He shared how the entire trajectory of his life was changed by the encounter. He shared how Christ's love changed his heart and put him on a mission to change the hearts of those around him. And the rest is, as they say, history. Each one of us has a story that is inseparable from the greatest story. Our story may not be pretty. If you're like me, the majority of it may have been spent on a road leading to nowhere or the worst where. You may be ashamed of parts of your story because of what you have done or what has been done to you. But I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what horrible things are a part of your story, no matter how painful the places you have visited within your stories may be, and no matter how many people you have swallowed up and spit out in the midst of your story, you are still a part of the greatest story. God can and will still use all of your story in the great epic saga of salvation. And guess what? Someone out there needs to hear your story. Someone out there believes that they are the only one who is on a road leading nowhere. They believe they are the only one who has struggled with addiction. They are the only one who has hurt the ones that they love. They are the only ones who have stolen and cheated, lusted and hated. They believe that they are beyond God's redeeming love, and they need to hear exactly how Christ rescued you. Share your story, because your story is a part of the greatest story. The scripture tells us that after his moving testimony about the resurrection of Christ from the dead, that some began to ridicule Paul. Others said that they would listen to him again, and some people joined him and came to believe. Now, I know that none of us wants to be ridiculed. None of us want to be rejected. None of us want to be dismissed as believers in fairy tales, and so we may be hesitant to share our faith with strangers. We may not want to tell the story because of what people will think about us, and not the story. We may be hesitant to talk about all of the ways that our lives have been changed because of our relationship with Christ. We may not want to unearth all of the bad things that were done to us, or all of the bad things that we did to other people. But Paul's storytelling insists that we put our fears and our hesitations and our embarrassments aside, because lives are at stake. This episode on Mars Hill in Athens proves that it isn't always going to be easy to share our story. Some are not going to believe us when we tell them the story of Christ's resurrection. We may be rejected by some, ridiculed by others, called fools and ignored by still more. But the good news is that if we tell our chapter of the greatest story, we might be believed by some, and we might be joined in faith by others. And if we are heard, if we are believed, and if we are able to lead one soul into life-changing relationship with the Most High God, then we will become both rescued and rescuer. God is telling us through the voice of Paul that we have an obligation to tell our chapter in the greatest story, because our chapter is important. Our chapter is life-changing, and our chapter was made possible by the grace, the love, and the peace of a Most High God. And our story, our small part of this much bigger thing, is crucial to bringing both life and love and peace back into this fractured world. Tell your story, for it is a part of the greatest story. Amen.